Yeah, so there were two mocha lattes that walked into a bar. You would have thought the second one would have ducked. It's mocha latte time. This week, coming to you from Lake Placid, New York, beautiful Lake Placid, we have a third part in the Bean to Bowl series, and a little walking tour of the circus lot, and a new hit from my dog, all coming up next. So, welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is Circus Boy Nathan Slaywall coming to you from the Flying Dutchman, where every week I ride my motorcycle around and check out the local coffee scene. So, the circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee. And so, this is my podcast project. It's always unscripted and always unedited. So, if I say something that puts me in the ranks with, who knows, as the sponges in the ocean, well, I put it up there anyway. So, exciting show this week. We have part three in the Bean to Bowl series coming up, talking about grinders this week, which reminds me, as I mentioned, I'm going to mention in the part three here coming up, my grinder didn't come in the mail this week. There was some complication with the internet ordering process or something or other that got mixed up there. So, I was planning to do a test run of it this week on the podcast, but that's going to have to wait till next week. So, so this week I decided to take you on a little hike. I'm around the circus lot. I'm here at the Flying Dutchman, and what I'm going to do is I think I'll just take a walk outside the door, and we'll do the coffee scene from a walk. There's a nice vista, a view near here, so maybe we'll take a walk and do the coffee scene from up there, and do a little Bean to Bowl and series part three, and then I'll sign off for the day. So I'm going to walk out the door here. So Flying Dutchman is my RV, by the way. And let's see. All right, walk out the door into not too much going on. Ooh, looks like full moon tonight. Walk down. Now, every week we park in, this week actually, we're parked in the speed skating oval. But every week we park kind of like have our little moving city on wheels. And we have I think about 48 RVs that travel with the show. And every week we kind of park them together in like the old Conestoga wagon style things. And we have kind of like our little town without a zip code, as they say. So this week we're parked here in Lake Placid, which actually, as it happens to be, was the site for the 1932 Olympics and the 1980 Olympics, as it happens, which is so we're parked right on the speed skating oval where they had that, and right next to the arena, which actually was, they say, the Miracle on Ice, where the U.S. hockey team beat the Russian, the Soviet Union hockey team back in 1980. So, So, all right. So we're up here on a bench, and I'm out of shape from walking up the hill. I shouldn't be out of breath. But just to describe it, there's about, I'd say RVs as far as I can see, and we're right downtown Lake Placid, which is not too big here. It's mainly a tourist town. There's, I think, only about 1,500 actual residents, and I can see to the right of me is the luge run off in the distance, all lit up.
I see the red light blinking on the ski jump. At my 2 o'clock, there's a local town hall there where the bell rings on every hour. And straight ahead of me is the moon. It's like a waning gibbous tonight. And we got the circus lot, got all 48 trailers in front of me, people milling about. And to my left is the downtown, well, actually the Olympic Center where we're playing this weekend, and the downtown, the main street. So it's a nice little cozy town. Now the coffee scene here, it's I don't know, there's nothing too exciting going on. There were five places this week that I actually got to review. So I'm gonna pull up my oh my goodness, we got is it a car robbing going on down here? Sounds like the city. There's a lot of people in town this weekend for the Burning Leaf Festival that's going on. So there were five places that I looked at this week. Three of them were here in Lake Placid. I want to start out last week, as you might remember, in Toledo, Ohio. And so on the way from Toledo, as I left, I was driving through these little towns to get to the highway. And there's this little place in Elmore, Ohio, and had a cool little, I don't know what you call it, like a almost a Mayberry-esque downtown street. And there's a place called Red, White, and Brew. And I was like, oh, I gotta stop and try that out. So Red, White, and Brew, not Blue, Brew. First impression is heavy chocolate, weird milk, foam, question mark. There wasn't too much foam. Couldn't really taste espresso. So this drink, I wrote this drink, so all in all it was a little off kilter, but they did ask on whipped cream. It was served out of a to-go cup, but I was also driving, I was ordering out, so it was okay. So they got 3.1 beans, and really cozy little atmosphere, all the locals. You walk in, it has that very country kind of feel. Looked like the local group of elderly ladies were having their weekly get together and talking about all the local gossip. So it was pretty cool. Now the next place I tried was actually on Route 90 east of Buffalo. Now I heard a rumor, I was looking around on the internet and saw in some forums that McDonald's has actually started an espresso bar, and they were doing a trial up in the Buffalo area. And I was wondering if I was going to run into any of these, and sure enough, I did. At this rest stop, they had it billed as a Lavazza bean, which is, as Miko, you remember from our second podcast, episode 2, Miko was very fond of Lavazza beans from when he was over in Europe. But I wrote here, and I was a little in a travel plaza, I wrote here, the barista didn't want to be there. The drink had no foam, you could hardly taste the chocolate, and the espresso was too strong. But I put here, but the actual espresso was slightly above average in taste. I mean, it is Lavazza after all. So it was served out of to-go cup, and they did ask on whipped cream. So I gave them 3.3 at that roadside stand. So interesting concept. I don't know if McDonald's will make any headway with that, but yeah, interesting. So on to Lake Placid, New York. Now, as I said, there were three places here in town that I checked out. Looked like there were two other places that had gone out of business recently. So it must be a pretty cutthroat coffee business here in Lake Placid. So first place was Cup of Joe. Now, what I wrote here, what an expensive drink, !! Which it was. I think it was for a double shot 16-ounce, which is my normal mocha latte bar that I kind of test everything off of, it was like $4.75, almost $5 for that drink, which is it's pretty high for me. But I put over $5, yeah, with tax. Wasn't worth the price. Very little and loose foam, very weak chocolate and milk taste, mainly milk served. Mainly milk. It was served out of a go cup, but they did ask on whipped cream. So it was very average, very overpriced. So I gave them 2.9 there, a cup of joe. The next place was the Coffee Bean Cafe, E as in like internet email, E Bean Cafe. And they're located right in the little Alpine Mall section of Main Street. And wrote here, nothing too impressive here. The chocolate was okay. Bean taste was there. But very little and loose foam. Was served all to-go cup, and they did ask them whipped cream. So I gave them a 3.3. And it's a nice little place there in the Alpine Mall. They have free Wi-Fi. And they're actually open later in the evening, which is not a whole lot of stuff. I think they're open to like 10 usually, which for Lake Placid is, for the most of the stores, is that's pretty late. So yeah, so cup of joe and Coffee Bean Cafe. And the last place was called A New Leaf Coffee House, and this is right on the, I guess it would be the north corner of Main Street, and they boast organic coffee. I wrote here about the drink. It was overly milky and chocolatey. If there had been more bean, that's it'd been more balanced. So if it would have been less chocolate slash milk and more slash better espresso, it could have been a really good drink. It was served out of to-go cup, and they did ask on whipped cream. So they got the highest for in town this week at a 3.6. And they did a nice touch. They put little chocolate shavings on top, which isn't my personal preference, but it doesn't change the taste of the drink too much, and it was a nice touch. So they got 3.6 beans. So that is the... Oh, there it goes. I think it's 8 o'clock. That's 3, 4, 5... 6, 7, 8. That should be it, or else I'll turn into a pumpkin. Yeah, that's it. I'm good. Good. So, yeah. So, welcome to Lake Placid. That is the coffee scene for this week. I'm gonna go on to the Bean to Bowel series, part 3, and then we'll be back to wrap up for this week's podcast.
Bean to Bowel.
All right, part 3 of the Bean to Bowel series. Part 1, we talked about cultivation of the beans and where they're grown, a little bit of history about coffee with Caldy, the goat herd. And then part 2, we talked about the harvesting and the roasting of the beans and how that happens. And in part 3, we're going to talk about the grinding of the beans, the grinding. Now, I have to put it out there first that I was supposed to have my new grinder this week, but due to the miracles or lack thereof, I guess, of internet and technology and things getting messed up, numbers, whatever, my grinder will not get here until next week. So, kind of like one of those things where they have to throw a football pass at you. So, I'm moving every week, so they got to, like, kind of send the grinder to the right place, and if they mess up the order, and then I have to like get it rerouted, it's a long story. But in any case, I'll just kind of have a kind of silent, quiet sorrow for my grinder today while I'm talking about grinders. So this week is all about grinders. Now, I'm sure first off you're asking, Nathan, why grind the beans at home? I mean, I can get them pre-ground. That saves me time, saves me energy, saves me cost of actually having to buy a grinder. So you're probably saying, Nathan, what's the use? Well, in my opinion, if you like coffee, then there's no question you have to grind the beans. The taste is, oh my goodness, the taste is just, it's so much better if you grind them fresh rather than getting. Now, I know some places, you can get them ground at the grocery store and then take them home, but I would suggest you get your own grinder at home, because from the second that you grind that little coffee bean, it's like a little time capsule. From the second that you grind that and then pop the moisture open in that coffee bean, it starts to degrade. And even within hours, it starts to lose its flavors and aromas. And plus the grinders at the grocery store, well, before you, there's been about 100 other people who have ground, 15 other varieties of beans, and you're getting a little bit of their grind in with your grind. So it's not exactly
most desirable thing. So, on to grinders. All right, on to grinders. Two types of grinders. There's blade grinders, and there's burr grinders. Now, the blade grinders, they are, you've probably seen them. You can buy them actually in almost any convenience store now. They use a small spinning blade, looks like a propeller, inside, usually stainless steel, to cut the beans. It actually spins so fast that it cuts the beans. And they're generally less expensive, but they usually produce on uneven grind, and it's hard, really hard to get a fine grind on those. And sometimes also, the motors, if you try to get a fine grind, the motors can heat up the motor that spins the blade and actually heat up the beans and burn the beans, which actually gives you kind of a burnt taste in your beans, which is not a good thing, I myself right now, I've had a blade grinder I bought back in my college days because that's all I could afford at the time. And I've had that for a couple years now, and it's done fine, but I've gotten to the point now, which is the reason I'm getting a new grinder, where I want to do more espresso, which requires a very fine and even grind. So the blade grinders, they're good for, I'd say drip coffees and for a press pot or like a French press coffee, because you don't need quite as fine a grind. If it's a little uneven, it's okay. It's not as picky as espresso. Now, you can also, another added feature is you can use them as a spice grinder. I used to do double duty with my ground spices, but it's really hard to get all the little pieces of coffee out of there. So I actually bought another one because they're only like $10. So I bought one to get dedicated specifically to grinding spices, but I digress. That's spices and grinding. That's for a cooking show. But trust me, grinding spices fresh is just as good as grinding fresh coffee beans. The second type, so we have blade grinders. Second type is burr grinders. Now, there's two types, but both types have these characteristics in that it crushes the beans between a grinding wheel and a non-moving surface. Those are called the burrs. And the coffee can also be ground to a finer consistency, and it's much more even overall. Now, as I said, there's two types of burr grinders. There's what's called a wheel burr, or sometimes referred to as a burr, and a conical burr. Now, there's pros and cons to each. The wheel burr, it has actually, as the name suggests, a wheel that spins very fast. And it's usually messy and pretty noisy, but they are cheaper. They're not as cheap as the blade grinders, but they are cheaper than the conical burr. And they usually spin at a very high RPM, revolution per minute. They usually spin really fast. And if I remember right, those are typically, if you go get your coffee ground at the store, like some supermarkets have a grinder in the aisle there, I think that's the type of grinder they have there, is the wheel burr. Now the second kind is the conical burr. Now this is the ideal for espresso and Turkish coffee. If you're doing drip coffee or a French press, some people will argue, but I think it's a little overkill to drop $200, $300, $400 on a conical burr grinder if you're just going to make a French press or drip coffee. But the pros to having the conical burr is that the wheel spins slower, so there's not as much heat generated in the burrs. So since it's spinning slower, it's quieter and not quite as messy. And it's actually best to use these conical burrs for coffees that are flavored or oily. Like remember I said last week at the roasting beans, flavored coffees are just regular roasted coffee with the syrup added to it. So they're a little oily, and most grinders, it will clog them or leave oily bits on there. And with conical burrs, conical burr grinders, that won't happen. So there you have it. Those are the type of grinders. You have the blade grinders and the burr grinders, and within the burr, you have the wheel burr and the conical burr. And actually the one I have coming is it's a conical burr grinder. It's a KitchenAid Proline, so I'm really excited about trying it out. But it's not here, so you can only get so excited. I guess you can dream, right? Well, but dreaming about coffee grinders is kind of weird. So, yeah, so anyways, if you're looking to get a grinder, so those are the type of grinders, the blade and the burr. And you're probably asking, what kind of grinder should I get, or how do I know what kind of grinder to get for my house, for myself? Well, this is, I've jotted down a couple considerations for buying a grinder. First, you need to ask yourself, what are you going to use the grinder for? Are you going to use it to make coffee? Are you going to use it to make espresso? Are you going to use it for Turkish coffee? You need to know what the use is so you can buy the right tool. So you need to know what you're going to use it for. And all those types of brewing, the coffee, espresso, and Turkish coffee, they all require different grinds, like either a coarse grind or a fine grind. The second is, are you going to use it for your home, office, or is it a coffee shop? You know, if you're going to use something like an office that's going to get, used a dozen, two dozen times a day, you might want to go something on a little bit heavier commercial grade side. So you need to ask yourself, what am I going to use it for? Second, how often am I going to use it? Like I just mentioned, if you're a very avid coffee enthusiast and you're going to use it, three or four times a day in your house, then you might not want to get the flimsiest coffee grinder out there. Or, if you're going to use make coffee and espresso a lot, like I said, you might want to get something a little heavier materials. Third is static in the grinds. Now, I didn't mention this before, but some of these machines, I haven't noticed it as much with my blade grinder, but I know in some of the burr machines, you can get static that's caused as a result of grinding, which causes the grinds to stick to the container when you're trying to pour them out into whatever you're using to brew the coffee. So you want to ideally look for a low static device. Noise. Is it loud? Is it soft? Does it sing? They don't sing. But, if noise is a consideration, if you, are first person up in the morning in the household and you want to grind those black gold, beans right out of the bag, but don't want to wake up the entire house, well, that noise may be a consideration to think about. Also, heat, extra heat. Does it create, remember I talked about the motor in the blade grinders and even in the burr grinders, does it put heat into the grind? You remember we talked about last week that the enemies of the aging or deterioration of beans is heat, moisture, light, all that stuff. So does it generate extra heat? Next one is ease of cleaning. How easy is it to get all those last little bits of coffee grinds? Like if you decide to do a vanilla flavored French roast coffee, and then your buddy right after you wants to grind some of his espresso blend to put an espresso machine. I don't think he wants vanilla flavor in his espresso blend. So is it easy to clean? Is it easy to get all the last little coffee beans and so forth out there? The next one is the hopper capacity. And what I mean by that is where you actually dump beans into the machine. And if you're a person who just wants to make coffee in the morning, then you really don't need to make that grind that many beans at a time. But if you are in an office situation, or maybe even you entertain company quite often and you need to grind 1 pound, 2 pounds of coffee, then time is definitely of the essence and you want a big hopper or a big place to dump in the beans. And on that same note, if you're into espresso, portafilter doser. What that is, a portafilter, for those of you not familiar, if you go to like a coffee shop and there's that thing with the handle and an aluminum thing on the end that you always see them pounding, and then they put some espresso in that, and then it looks like they're screwing it into the bottom of that espresso machine. Well, that's called a portafilter. And there's some grinders, only burr grinders, that have dosers, which actually dispense coffee grounds straight into the portafilter. But anyways, that's something to consider if you're going to be making a whole lot of espresso, and time is a factor. And last thought I put here, quality of materials used. Is it made of a plastic, is it die-cast metal, you know, or is it made out of bubble gum? You know, I mean, what kind of material is it made out of? I mean, if you, is it something that you want to last 10 years? You know, then you might want to get something that's, you know, well-constructed. And on that same note, warranty, you know, quality materials, do they back up their product? Do they give you a one-year warranty, you know, parts on defective parts or so forth? And even to that extent, is it easy to get replacement parts on there? So those are all some things to think about and buying a grinder. Again, it's, you know, what am I going to use it for? Because I think that's the most important. How often am I going to use it? Does it create static? Does it create a lot of noise? Does it create extra heat? Is it easy to clean? The hopper capacity, how many beans you can put in the thing, the hopper, and the quality of the materials used and the warranty. So think about all those things when looking into a grinder. Now, if you're going to do just regular coffee, like drip coffee, like a normal coffee machine, or in a French press, you probably just want a blade grinder. I think buying a $200 conical burr grinder is definitely overkill for you. But if you want to do something more along the lines of espresso, which is very picky in its grind, and you need to be able to customize your grinds within very fine, and you need them to be, you know, uniform. And even Turkish coffee, which is even a finer grind than espresso yet, then you may want to look into a conical burr grinder. Because I, you know, kind of the philosophy, you know, buy once and buy right. You know, buy right the first time. That way you don't have to be frustrated and buy multiple units later on down the line. So that's pretty much the grinders for this week. A few of the brands out there that I can think off the top of my head. There's KitchenAid, Gaja, Bun, Ditting, which is, Ditting's more of a commercial side, Compresso, Chilio, Solus, Black & Decker, Mazur. Those are all grinders that are, I listed there from like household to professional. Right now, if you're into, need something that does espresso, some of the most popular, I was looking around online a little bit, the most popular ones are the Rancilio Rocky, which is a conical burr grinder, very well constructed, and the Solus Maestro Plus. Very well. They're basically, it's a commercial grinding machine for like a coffee shop that's, you know, scaled down for home use. And also the KitchenAid Proline Espresso grinder, which is the one I'm getting this week, is was also very highly rated. They said it's built like a tank, so I'm just worried about it fitting in my kitchen, since my kitchen, if you take your arms and stretch them straight out, that about is the width of my kitchen from the refrigerator to the stove to the sink. So live in an RV, and I took the economy size model when I was shopping for RVs. So there you have it, Bean to Bowl series for this week. Next week, exciting things. We are going to be going into the brewing process, into coffee. Brewing coffee. We're going to do French press. We're going to do espresso, and I might even try a Turkish coffee. We'll see, but we'll try to try to brew all those and maybe do a taste test. I was hoping to give my grinder a test run, run it through its paces this week, but alas, it will come soon enough next week. So we'll be into the brewing process. That's going to be exciting. That's the drinking part. That's the fun part of the Bean to Bowl series. So, for part three, this has been
Bean to Bowl.
All right. Welcome back. That was a good bowl to bean episode. I'm looking forward to the next one when we get to
actually drink the coffee, and that'll be exciting. So so this week was Lake Placid. Coming up next week, coming attractions. I'm gonna try to wrangle. As some of you may know, I am a trumpet player here in the circus, and there's five other band members that I happen to work with on a daily basis. Well, five band members, three elephants, seven horses, three dogs, and smattering of other people from around the world, but the band members, we're a little different. We're a little different in the head, I guess. We're a little crazy. You got to be a little crazy to play a musical instrument in the circus. But any case, I'm gonna invite all of them to a coffee sit down next week, and probably be in the dressing room, and we'll see who turns up, and we might get some opinions about coffee. I was talking to my band leader today about some of his experiences with ground and not ground coffee and the such. And I should have my new grinder, pending no more internet delays, order delays. Should have the new grinder next week. And so coming attractions next week, the circus band tackles coffee. And also we're going to be in Portland, Maine. So this should be, I've heard good things, and looking forward to seeing the fellow podcasters there at in Portland. And it looks like from my Google Earth search I did, there's a lot of coffee going on there. So going to be an exciting week next week. And as always, if you have any comments, questions, if this podcast really freaks your cat out, and there's something you'd like to hear that might soothe your cat a little bit more, you can write me at bestmochalatte@gmail.com. You can send me an email there, or you can leave a comment on the webpage for this podcast, which is bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. Or there's also a call-in line there if your cat likes to vocalize and talk, or dogs for that matter. I don't discriminate amongst the pets out there, or ferrets. I don't know if ferrets can make much noise, but yeah. So so you can always reach me there, and I'll usually put a picture up with the podcast every week on the bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. Website. So I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your experiences with coffee. And even if you have something to recommend, say, Nathan, you gotta check this roast out. So that wraps up the episode this week from Lake Placid. Have some great new music for you from Mod Dog. It's a little more upbeat, so put on your dancing shoes, and we're gonna call this what should we call it this week? We're gonna call it the Lake Placid Swing. Yeah, so new music from my dog, Lake Placid Swing. Until next week, as always, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.
We'll be right back.